The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And today we are, you know, we're kind of continuing on what we talked about last time.
Yeah, we're gonna go over some of the Oscar movies. I think we're actually on track to see all of the Oscar Best Picture nominees before the ceremony this year.
What? That's unheard of for us.
Right? We have been doing a very big Oscar party every year. This is our seventh year, I believe.
Yeah.
And we have never seen all of the nominees, so I'm very proud of us.
Yeah, so today we will be discussing three of them, mm-hmm. One of them being The Favorite.
Yeah.
The other is BlacKkKlansman.
Mm-hmm.
That's one word.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one being A Star is Born.
Yes. So, fun fact, BlacKkKlansman, to date, is the Best Picture nominee of all time with the longest one-word title.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it'll probably hold that for a while.
Probably.
Unless they make another Mary Poppins movie and, you know, name it Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Or, could they, BlacKkKlansman-er?
Meh.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, yeah, but first, before we talk about the Oscar movies, we're going to talk about things that we're no longer a little behind on.
Right?
We're caught up. What?
That's
not our branding.
Wait, how did this happen?
We don't sleep much.
Yeah, that's probably it.
So we're going to talk about a couple of the TV shows that we've actually caught up with. One of them we're still super happy with. One we are starting to fall out of infatuation with, and one is just as terrible as it's always been.
All right, so let's see. I'm gonna say a couple of the things that I don't think is even on your list. So get your pencil out so you can start writing these down. We're all completely caught up with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Mm-hmm.
We are completely caught up with The Big Bang Theory.
Uh-huh.
We are completely caught up with The Good Place.
Oh, such a good show.
And the ones that you were already discussing are Riverdale.
Mm-hmm.
And Gotham.
Yep.
And last but not least, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay. So we discussed Crazy Ex-Girlfriend last week that we were in the process. We just love it so much that we just went all the way through.
Oh, so good. And now I'm kind of sad that we don't have episodes to watch when we get home at night anymore.
Can't binge those.
We can't binge it anymore.
Although it is a great show to rewatch.
It really is. It's got a very high rewatchability.
Yeah.
Because it references itself, the songs are amazing, and the more you watch the songs, the more you can sing them. However, they are on Spotify, so if you want to listen to the music, it's there.
Yeah.
Are songs from the current season on there?
No.
Okay, well, there you go.
One through three.
Yeah. But it's so good.
Yeah.
So good.
So let's talk a little bit about Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, it being on its new network really hasn't changed much with the show, which is nice.
It actually has improved it viewership-wise.
Oh, has it? Good.
Yeah. Because it went from Fox to NBC, and it had its biggest premiere to date when it came back.
Mm-hmm.
And the show's just as good as ever.
Yeah, it's such a well-written cop dramedy. Like it's a comedy. It's very much a sitcom.
I don't even know. Yeah, I'm gonna let you take back the word dramedy.
No, I'm not, because it's got a seriousness to it, but they present it in a comedic way.
Okay.
Like it deals with some real. I mean, it's not just wacky cops. Like they actually do real police work.
Well, they're not zany. It's not like The Naked Gun.
Right.
Zany. But
Reno 911.
True. But yeah, okay. I will concede to this.
I will stress the comedy over the drama, but it's not. I mean, it's
like an 80-20 split.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a really good balance.
It's a great ensemble show.
Mhm.
And it's a lot right along the lines of Parks and Recreation and The Office.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
So I love the fact that they've actually Thursday nights they're bunching they've paired them up with The Good Place.
Mm-hmm. It's
like,
a good, solid
hour of television.
Yeah, I'm really glad that NBC decided to pick it up when Fox canceled it, because it wasn't at a good point to be canceled. Like, it was canceling it mid-season almost. I mean, it wasn't, but that's what it felt like.
Right.
And it's a mid-story. Really well-written show.
It was canceled mid-story.
Mm-hmm. And the captain on Holt. There, Captain Holt, is just, he's so good.
So, for those who don't know, we'll give a quick recap. Brooklyn Nine-Nine is about the 99th precinct of the NYPD in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a great ensemble cast, the writing's spot on, and the characters, you love them all.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we've talked about Andy Samberg a lot on our show in various things that he's in, like Pop Star, which mm-hmm. we love, The Lonely Island, which is, for me, a love. Yours became an acquired taste.
Mm-hmm.
His time on SNL, he was kind of weird. Like, I didn't like a lot of the stuff that it was on him during SNL.
Yeah,
but this sitcom has really brought out so many positive characteristics and traits of the actor Andy Samberg.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is a real huge, a big win for him.
Yeah, this was a really good role for him to take on.
Yeah,
he's been very endearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've liked it.
Yeah, it's done really well, acted really well, written really well, and then follows into The Good Place, which I believe we've talked about before, yeah?
I think we have.
The fact that we love this show.
Oh, it's so good.
If you get a chance to, it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1 and 2 are on Netflix. We're currently in season 3.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1 is big, so I would encourage you to watch it, because...
Yeah.
It's probably the storyline's probably not what you expect. I mean, it's obviously they've died and gone to heaven, thus The Good Place.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I can't really get into much more than that, because
yeah, we don't want to do spoilers, because it's relatively new. But it's Kristen Bell being her just adorable self. Like, she's so freaking cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I
like Ted Danson.
Yeah, and she plays against Ted Danson, which I think this is my favorite thing I've ever seen Ted Danson in. Like, I really, really like him in
the show.
You're
going to have some people fighting you about Cheers, but I know what? I'm inclined to agree.
But, I mean, he was great on Cheers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bagging on Cheers. Cheers is awesome.
Well, Cheers, he was more of a ladies' man, you know, ex-baseball player, bar owner. He had mm-hmm. that devil-may-care kind of, you know, it was like the good guy sleaze.
Yeah.
Whereas in this, he shines in this.
He has such a range in this show. Like, his character goes through so much character development and has times where he is the most arrogant, you know, thing in the world and thinks he knows all the answers. And then in another episode, he's comatose laying on the ground because he doesn't know what to do. Like, he's very diverse, and it's great.
Although the best actor on the entire show is the one that plays Janet.
Right. Yeah, she is amazing.
And there's an episode in the latest season to where she really shines and really, really brings a lot to show how well she is as an actress.
So her name is Darcy Carden,
mm-hmm.
and I think we can. It's not a spoiler to say that she portrays all the characters.
Okay.
So we won't give you the situation or the reason, but she portrays every other actor and character in the series, all the main roles, and she does a phenomenal job. She's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her character in general is awesome, but she really showed her talents with that.
Yeah.
And so she was acting just against herself. She had almost the entire episode was just her.
Yeah.
And so she was acting against nothing and doing a phenomenal job.
So those are the comedies that we're liking. So the next one we're going to talk about is the one that we always have complaints about, but yet we're in a very bad relationship with this, and it's coming to an end. So we're not going to have to be in a relationship with it much longer, which is Gotham.
It is in its final season.
Yeah, it's in its final season, and it's like 12 episodes, and we're already like four into the season. Which, so we have like 8 episodes left. We've got to get through this.
The end is in sight.
Are we going to see Batman? Who knows?
I really think we are. Like, I feel like they're going to, if nothing else, he will be Batman in the finale. Like, he'll put on the cowl and be Batman.
Sort of like they did with Smallville, where the very final scene is... the whole series, even the last episode was just Clark Kent, and at the very end, it like flashes forward to where he like pulls his shirt apart for the S.
Yeah,
you don't see the full costume; you just see the S and him taking off.
I can see them doing something like that with Gotham.
Yeah,
because honestly, right now Gordon is Batman, and it's really frustrating.
Yeah, this whole show is frustrating. It's never not been frustrating.
I know. Why do we do this to ourselves?
And they totally, this new season, pulled a Rick and Morty joke about flashing forward to where it shows a scene and it's all, day 876. And then all of a sudden it just goes, day 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
And in the Rick and Morty episode, Morty's like, I think we should just start our stories where they start, at the beginning, not in the middle, and not using a cheesy flashback cutaway of title card saying, 3 months later. Like,
yeah.
Three weeks earlier.
Yeah, they're totally with the no man's land. They're cut off from the world, and the government won't help them, and... It's getting rough.
And everyone hates everyone. Everyone's trying to kill everyone. But then all of a sudden they're not. And it's so much exposition for no reason.
Oh, yeah. Well, they keep having to make alliances. And then someone's betrayed. And then they're at war. And then they have to make alliances. And
I love the guy that plays Penguin. But is it Robin Lord Taylor, I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love him to death, but oh my gosh, if I have to hear Penguin screaming anymore, and I don't mean like, screaming, I mean, he screams everything he says, and I'm just like, I can't take this anymore.
He's very intense.
Like, I wonder if he gets paid for extra for how many times he screams, and so he just screams everything.
Well, again, that's one of the...
I would like some bread with my soap!
That's one of the problems with this show, which is why we keep watching it, because the storylines are terrible, but the performances are really good. And, like, he's an amazing Robin, and Corey Michael Smith is a wonderful Riddler.
Penguin, you mean?
I'm sorry, Robin Lord Taylor is a wonderful Penguin.
Yeah, yeah.
Corey Michael Smith is a wonderful Riddler.
They're just in really, like, if you were to put
these... in a really bad
if
show.
If they were to put them in these roles in real Batman movies, I'd be like, sweet, this works. But, yeah, the show itself is just bad. And I swear, if we make a drinking game out of every time they say, this is Gotham...
Well, we would die.
We would be dead. Like,
we would
die. Like, it's like the writers are just have an ad-lib book, and we've said this before. They're like, it's like they have an ad-lib, and then... they just fill in the blanks, but everything on the page is, this is Gotham.
This is Gotham.
Gotham. No.
It's like they don't want you to forget where they are. You know why? It's because there's no Batman.
Yeah. So we've always had a hate-love relationship with this, and I put that in that order on purpose.
Yeah.
However, there's another show that we've absolutely loved, which we are not digging on anymore.
No.
Riverdale.
Riverdale is losing us quickly.
Yeah. Okay, so first season is amazing. Second season is fine. Third season is it is so poorly written.
Mm-hmm.
It no longer has the fun cheese factor. It's just cheese.
Yeah.
I can't stand how many things that they generic up to use. Like the Five Seasons Hotel,
mm-hmm.
or Fresh Aid instead of Kool Aid, or all the it's terrible the amount of things that they generic up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do they think they're being clever? Like, what? Because they're not. And everyone is so over the top dramatic and overacting, and you just everything about it's terrible. And this season's plot line, which is apparently there's a version of Dungeons and Dragons, which they call
Griffins and Gargoyles.
Yeah, Griffins and Gargoyles. So they call it G&G instead of D&D. And basically this game runs the town,
mm-hmm.
and there's a cult around it. I mean, it's just terrible.
My biggest problem is that these... Okay, so in the first season, we had You know, they were all in high school,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
They're high schoolers. And now in season three, they're all still juniors in high school. They're not even seniors. They're juniors in high school because they just took their SATs,
right.
which is the first time school has actually been
mentioned,
like, focused on. And all these kids are, like, they're taking over gangs, and they're running their own speakeasies, and they're buying properties and businesses. And there's no actual adolescence to the to them at all. They're all acting like they're, like, 28 years old.
Now, I'm going to keep with the show for a while because I want to make sure, you know, I want to at least see how it progresses. But honestly, I haven't been so lost by a show between a phenomenal first season to such a terrible third season since the TV show Heroes.
Mm-hmm. I tried to watch the pilot, or not the pilot, I tried to watch the premiere of season three of Heroes 4 times. And I'm like, I can't. I'm done.
I think I got like 3 episodes in, and I'm like, they just went through, with Heroes, they went through time travel, like, mm-hmm. so much that they were like, we're going to fix everything with time travel. And then they just kept changing everything. And I'm like, you're using it wrong.
Well, I feel like they're falling into the same pit that I feel that Heroes fell into, is that we have this great idea for a TV show. Awesome. Let's make it. It made 20 episodes. Cool. What are you going to do for season two? Wait, we get a season two? Are you sure? I'm pretty sure we just wrote this for one season. I don't know what to do anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't... These are more like limited series versus mm-hmm. actual TV shows that can go on for several seasons.
Yeah.
They blew their ideas in the first season, and now they have nothing to work with.
Yeah, and this whole Griffins and Gargoyles thing is played out.
Although it is quite fun to watch it with our friend's 12-year-old daughter, because she's super into it.
Yeah. It's really funny, because the stuff that we're sitting there groaning and, like, rolling our eyes at is the stuff that she's just absolutely in love with.
Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Did you know that his abs are on that show quite a bit?
I don't think I knew that.
No, really, it does.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And lastly, we'll discuss Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Oh, this show is so amazing.
Okay, so we have how many episodes left? At least, because right now we're on, like, what, episode 10?
I think according to IMDb, we should be going into May.
Oh, so they're doing like a full 22?
I think so.
I think they must have gotten it extended because they made a reference earlier on in the season that their series will end on Valentine's Day. Wait, what do you mean? Our series of holidays. Because they like, what they love to do is they love to reference the fact that they're in a TV show without referencing it.
Yeah.
So they're talking about their seasons, you know, spring. And our series of episodes, yeah, because Karen goes through these manic episodes, or, our series of holidays. So, yeah, we'll be done with our series on Valentine's Day, and they look at each other, you know, when that's the series of holidays.
So IMDb has them going out to episode 18.
Okay.
So it's March. So right. we have 2 more months.
Okay. And how many episodes?
18 total, and we've already watched 11.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We're getting close. It's so good. So this season, they brought back a character from the first season, but it's a new actor.
And it's referenced because of
it. And it is referenced, and because of course it is. So the kind of sub love interest, because the main love interest is the guy she's obsessed over. So kind of the one everyone wants her to end up with, Greg. In the first episode, we've mentioned before, was played by
Santino Fontana,
who was in Frozen.
And he's so Hans in Frozen. He's the bad guy. He's amazing, and he's great. And he leaves in the third episode of season two.
And because they didn't know how well the show was going to be doing, and so he signed contracts with Broadway. And so once the show was picked up by the CW, because they were in a lot of negotiation with Showtime originally. That's where the show was originally supposed to air. It was half hours episodes on Showtime. But then when that fell through, they went to an hour on the CW. So they had to rewrite a lot of stuff. But so that's why he had other obligations, and so they couldn't bring him back. So they replaced him with Skylar Astin, who is the main male lead in Pitch Perfect.
And Pitch Perfect 2.
And he wasn't in the third one, and it made me sad. But he's very, very good.
He's good.
He's very talented. He looks a lot like the guy, but it's just not the same.
It's really not. Like, Santino Fontana had just something about him that made the character perfect. Mm-hmm. And this feels very much like I'm drinking a generic soda.
Yeah.
It's the same feeling. It's the same purpose. But I can tell there's something that's just, it's not filling the void.
Mm-hmm.
It's not filling what I need.
I mean, the show is still amazing. Mm-hmm. It's still so good. And I'm already missing it, even though it hasn't gone away yet.
Yeah.
Because I'm just anticipating not being able to watch new episodes of it anymore, and it makes me sad.
Yes. So, I feel that if you get the chance to watch Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, do that. The first two seasons are on Netflix,
mm-hmm.
and the current season, I think you can watch some of the episodes on the app, but I couldn't wait, so I bought the season on Vudu, and new episodes are then uploaded to my account every time it airs,
mm-hmm.
which is super nice.
Yeah,
so, you know, I think it cost me like $20, and I got the entire season, and
super worth it.
New episodes are uploaded, commercial free, high def, perfect.
Super worth it.
So yeah, if you get a chance, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Absolutely.
Okay, so now the rest of our show. After we're going to take a break, and after we come back, we're going to discuss three of the Oscar-nominated Best Picture nominees that we watched, and we only have two more that we need to. We'll probably get to that next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take a break, and we are going to
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll start with the first one.
Yeah.
All right. You are listening to We're a Little Behind.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up and hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hello. Hello, good North State folk. Robin Hood here. Would you like to see a play about me, the ultimate hero and all-around good guy? I will wow you in a story that is hilarious and adventurous fun for the whole family. Oh, and that story has other characters in it, too. Towns Guy, tell the good folk where to see me.
Of course, Robin. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present the somewhat true tale of Robin Hood, written by Marilyn Dobson, directed by Samantha Fork. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2, January 19th through February 16th.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we are talking about now Oscar-nominated for Best Picture movies that we have seen.
Yay!
So last week we had said that we had seen three of the eight.
We had seen Black Panther.
Yep.
Vice.
Yep.
And Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes, obviously. So that song that that I started out with, that is Killer Queen by Queen. So it plays into two.
It does.
And it plays into our next one that we're talking, because we watched The Favorite.
The Favorite. Now, I was really excited about this movie.
We even said that last week. We really want to see that.
I really like Emma Stone. I like almost every movie. Like, I haven't really seen many movies with her that I don't like. And this movie was super, super disappointing.
Oh, so bad.
It was really boring.
It was boring and weird and depressing and not at all great.
No, the trailer looked awesome.
Yeah.
So whoever cut the trailer, bravo.
Good for you. Yeah.
But it was really dark because they didn't use any artificial light. They used natural light, so they either used sunlight or they used candlelight,
mm-hmm.
which made it really dark and really hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it that you're going for authenticity, but if I can't see what's happening, I'm not going to be interested.
And that is the only interesting part about the movie, too.
Yeah, it was...
Okay. Yeah, so, yeah, the trailer makes it look great. Makes it look like an interesting story of, you know,
political intrigue and
yeah.
royal hijinks.
Yeah. And lesbianism.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, this movie was just so bad.
I will say that, Olivia Colman, who mm-hmm. played Queen Anne, mm-hmm. did a good job.
Okay. Yeah. Like, they all committed to what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
The story just wasn't interesting.
Yeah, like, I just didn't care.
And it was mostly true. Like, it's based on historical facts.
Right.
I mean, Queen Anne did have Lady Sarah, who is an ancestor of Winston Churchill. And
Princess Diana.
And Princess Diana. And then her cousin, Abigail, came to the palace, and Queen Anne was heavily influenced by her favorites, which is why the movie's called The Favorite. But it wasn't very interesting. And also, the credits really frustrated me.
Yeah.
Because the font or the layout of the credits is justified, meaning, you know, it's not all to the right or all to the left or centered. It's justified. So when you look at the title of the film, you know, the is only three letters, but it takes up the same amount of space as favorite. So the T is on one side, the E is on the other, and the H is in the middle. So
as is your microphone.
As is my microphone. So all of the credits were formatted that way. And it was so difficult to read. Like, I'm a person who I will sit through the credits of a movie not only to see post-credit scenes. I mean, that's a big draw. But also, I feel that these people deserve recognition.
Okay.
Because they worked hard on this movie, and if they're not the star, they get very little recognition.
Yeah.
And so I enjoy, and I also like seeing what movies do with their credits, you know, what the format is, what the font is, what music, because I'm a huge nerd.
You're a movie nerd.
but this one was so difficult to read, I couldn't even see what the categories were because the letters were so spaced so far apart.
And the movie, like, with the lighting and everything, went so authentic that they used music throughout the whole thing from the time period, And then, I'm just spoiling it because I don't really care. Right at the end, they use an Elton John song, which is, I mean, it's a soft
over the credits.
Yeah, yeah, Elton John song that is.
It's not really a spoiler.
No, but I'm saying, like, you know, all of a sudden it's like music of the time, music of the time, music of the time. And yes, granted, it sounds older. It's like Elton John sounds like he's singing an older song, mm-hmm. but it's still Elton John.
Right. Yeah. It's still vocals that go against all the rest of the mood that the movie was setting.
And just to let you know, one bare left Emma Stone boob is not enough to sell this movie.
It wasn't very interesting. I was so disappointed because I was so looking forward to this movie. And now I really don't think it's going to win. I think it's up against way too many movies that are phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, Black Panther is great.
Mm-hmm.
Bohemian Rhapsody, while I feel quite a bit of it's factually inaccurate, still a great movie.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before that it really threw me that they couldn't even get the timing of the release of We Will Rock You correctly.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? Like, I mean, this is something you could have just Googled and found this out. You know, you could have looked at the back of an album and found that. Why would you change this? It made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a great movie. Like, you sit there, you enjoy it, you love the music, you feel the actress did a good job. And the third one of the ones that we'd already seen, so it was Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Vice, which is so good.
You know what's really interesting is there is a lot of movies this year that are based on actual events.
Mm-hmm.
Black Klansman is true events. Bohemian Rhapsody is true events. The Favorite is mostly
true events.
It's a true
event. No, it is. So it is a true event. Yeah.
Vice is true.
Mm-hmm.
So the only ones that aren't are Black Panther, which is too bad.
Green Book is.
And Green Book. I'm sorry. And Green Book is. So Black Panther's not, which, like I said, is too bad. That'd be awesome. A Star is Born is not.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's heavily influenced by the way the music industry works, but
it's not
a true story.
It's not somebody's life story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know about Roma.
Yeah, I don't know. So to let you know, the only two that we haven't seen yet is Green Book and Roma. And we intend to remedy that before our next episode.
Yeah, so we'll be talking about those next week.
Yeah. So we're going to take a break because we don't really have much more to say about The Favorite other than skip it because it was just bad.
Yeah.
No. Like, if I'm going to sit there and I'm going to watch Emma Stone, I'll take either the Amazing Spider-Man movies or Easy A or Superbad.
Easy A is so good.
Yeah. Like, there's so many other things you can see Emma Stone in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even Olivia, what's her name?
Olivia Colman.
Go watch Hot Fuzz.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this movie's not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Okay, so we are going to take a break, and we will be right back, because you are listening to We're a Little Behind.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Join Shasta Regional Medical Center Foundation on Friday, February 1st for the annual Go Reading Luncheon at the Holiday Inn. Protect your heart health, the ones you love, and be inspired to live a heart-healthy lifestyle. Keynote speakers include two cardiovascular specialists sharing life-saving information on women's heart health. Shop in the Red Boutique, enjoy champagne, and complimentary Go Red goodie bag tote. Wearing red is highly encouraged. This event sells out every year. Go to ShastaRegional.com for more information. Let's get heart smart together at the Go Reading Luncheon.
Almost 50% of people in Shasta County have prediabetes, but only 1 in 10 know they have it. The good news is, prediabetes can be reversible with lifestyle and diet changes. The Shasta Family YMCA is offering a new program that is recognized by the CDC to improve your health and reduce your risk of type 2 diabetes. If you desire long-term healthy change in the new year, the YMCA can help. Go to sfymca.org for the diabetes prevention program information or call the YMCA at 768-2185.
This Christmas, give the gift of down-home comfort food and treat yourself as well. Buy $25 in gift cards from Black Bear Diner and get $5 in Bear Bucks for your own post-holiday meal. Gift cards are the perfect gift. What better way to send your love than a cozy home-style experience? Stop by Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive. Open Christmas and New Year's. Don't forget, you can enjoy your favorite comfort food at home. Order online at blackbeardiner.com, pick up, or have it delivered.
Black Bear Diner.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And as you can tell, my music always has some sort of connection to what we're talking about.
Yes.
And so the next movie that we're discussing is...
Black Klansman.
Aha! This is... I'm not a huge fan of a lot of Spike Lee movies. I haven't seen a lot of them, but the ones I have not been a huge fan of. This one breaks that mold.
Oh, this was really good. This was really good. This one lived up to its trailer.
Yeah,
and again, it's based on a true story of an undercover police officer in Colorado in the 70s who infiltrated the KKK.
So I feel like after watching this, I may need to give Spike Lee movies another chance, mm-hmm. certain ones, because I know he did Malcolm X, right?
Yes, he did.
And so I'm gonna give you time to look up Spike Lee. I'm pretty sure, did he do Boys in the Hood? Because I think if that was him, I'd like to see that. Or maybe it wasn't. I always get that and Don't Be a Menace to Society or something like that.
He did a lot of Michael Jackson videos.
Yeah, he did. Actually, I'm pretty sure he did Bad, didn't he? No, that was Martin Scorsese. So, which Michael Jackson videos did he do? Remember the Time?
He did...
Probably Remember the Time.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
He did They Don't Care About Us.
Okay.
He did History on Film.
Ah.
He did... Maybe that's it.
Okay. But still. So, this one is an amazing... This is an amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
Entertaining. It really is. And everyone in it did a really good job acting.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly enough, the lead actor, as you told me last night, is the son of Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm. Who, and actually, he was in Malcolm X as a child. He played a schoolboy, and now he's leading in a Spike Lee movie.
So this is based on the book written by the lead character. Which is
Ron Stallworth,
right? And he was a black police officer who went undercover and to bring down the KKK in Colorado.
Yeah, he saw an advertisement for a local chapter coming up, and so he called and left a message on the phone, thinking that he would get some like pamphlets and like catalog type things, that he would get some reading material and find out a little more. But a few days later, they actually called him. And so he started this relationship with them over the phone, and then sent in another undercover narcotics officer who was white in to play him undercover. And they stopped a lot of cross burnings, and they prevented a lot of violence in Colorado during the active years. And it's an amazing story, and I can't wait to read the book.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to reading that.
So we haven't seen a lot of Topher Grace since his departure from that 70s show.
Mm-hmm.
Surprising that he would take on the lead role as David Duke, mm-hmm. the Grand Wizard of the KKK. And this was an interesting role.
Yeah, and he did a really good job.
He did a really good job, and he was so depressed by the role that he had to clear his mind of it. That he then went on to he gave himself the project of editing down all of the Hobbit movies into one 2-hour movie.
I want to see that.
I do.
I would watch that movie.
I want to see the Topher Grace cleansing cut.
The Topher Grace cut. So you know what else is interesting is so Ron Stallworth, the person this is about, who mm-hmm. wrote the book. When he found out they were going to be making a movie, he wanted Denzel to play him. And so when he found out that his son would play him, he was very excited.
Oh, that's awesome. Did he make a cameo in the movie at all, I wonder?
I don't know.
Because you think that they would have put him in.
Usually they do stuff like that.
This movie was fantastic.
It really was. It was very well written. Like they did a good job adapting the book mm-hmm. Into a screenplay,
mm-hmm.
and the visuals are really good, and it's very affecting. Especially they end the movie, with some footage of more recent things.
Yeah.
To kind of show that this isn't over.
No.
This isn't a done deal. This isn't.
There's a lot of correlation between. Things that happened then in the 70s and things that are happening now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a conscious decision to do.
Oh, yeah.
And it correlated with, current political climates and the way of the world right now,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's eye opening.
Yeah.
To say the least.
But yeah, this one I was really excited to see. And I thought it was going to be good, but it was even better than I expected it. So I had the exact opposite reaction to The Favorite, where I thought that one was going to be really good and was super disappointed. And this one, I didn't think it was going to be bad. I thought it was going to be good, but it was even better than I had expected it to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd say I was expecting to be a little more preachy, and then I felt like it wasn't.
Mm.
But I like the fact that they cut. It's almost like cutting a drink with water, they cut the message with humor,
mm-hmm.
but in a really like good way.
Yeah.
Like they found the humor in the human experience as opposed to forcing laughs into it.
Right. And well, that was one of Spike Lee's conditions on taking this on is that he wanted to put in elements of humor. And another reason why it's so amazing is that it's produced by Jordan Peele. Who was the one who approached Spike Lee and said, hey, you need to make this movie about a black police officer who infiltrates the KKK. And Spike Lee's like, yeah, no, that sounds ridiculous. And Jordan Peele said, no, it's a true story. Here you go. And so that's what convinced Spike Lee to make the film.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if you get the opportunity to see this movie, absolutely do it.
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
It's a good one.
I can see why it was nominated, mm-hmm. and it's going to be contender.
Yeah.
It's high up there. It's a tough year this year.
Adam Driver is really good in it, too.
He is.
He
plays the undercover narco agent who portrays Ron.
Yeah.
When he has to be face-to-face.
Yeah, when he has to be face-to-face amongst the KKK members.
Mm.
And, yeah, he did a really good job in this. At one point, he said something that reminded us of our friend Forrest. And I'm like, hey, that's a Forrest thing. So, I don't know. I was not expecting it to be as good as it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, the subject matter seems like it would be good, but it exceeded expectations.
It really did.
I thought it would be good, and it was better than expected,
mm-hmm.
which is something you don't get to hear too often.
Yeah.
However, we are going to take another break.
One more,
and then we have one more movie to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be right back. You're listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. We'll see you in a minute.
Yeah.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
Hello, good North State folk. Robin Hood here. Would you like to see a play about me, the ultimate hero and all-around good guy? I will wow you in a story that is hilarious and adventurous fun for the whole family. Oh, and the story has other characters in it, too. Towns Guy, tell the good folk where to see me.
Of course, Robin. Riverfront Playhouse is proud to present The Somewhat True Tale of Robin Hood, written by Marilyn Dobson, directed by Samantha Falk. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtime's Friday and Saturday, 7:30. Sunday matinees at 2, January 19th through February 16th.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And that song could not be more appropriate for what we're about to talk about.
That's right.
That movie that we're going to talk about is A Star is Born.
Ah, Star is Born.
Okay, so quick recap about A Star is Born. This is the fourth time that it's been made into a major motion picture.
Yes.
And I don't know much about the first version, but the second one was Judy Garland mm-hmm. in the lead role. The most famous version is obviously the one from the 1970s, which is Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson. Mm-hmm. And then you have this one. This one is Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. And you look at it and you go, really? And you watch it and you go, oh my God, this is amazing.
It was so good. And I was sobbing by the end.
No, you will not sob. You will ugly cry.
Ugly cry. But in a very, I feel like sometimes when you say that a movie makes you cry so much, like, that's a deterrent. Like, you shouldn't see it. It'll make you cry.
No.
But, no, it's because they do such a phenomenal job these two, like, I want them to win all the awards because they pull you into their world and you care about them so much that when bad things happen, because that's not a spoiler, bad things are going to happen, obviously.
Why else are you crying?
Right. It's so heartbreaking because you empathize so much with them. And it's a beautiful film. And the fact that Bradley Cooper was not nominated for Best Director is a shame.
So going into this, I felt that the best picture was going to be Vice.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down so far of the six that we've seen out of the eight, Star is Born.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I did not expect it to be that. Mm-hmm. Like, there is movies that you watch and there's movies that affect you. This is a movie that affects you.
Mm-hmm.
Bradley Cooper's performance, Lady Gaga's performance. There's people in this movie that who give performances that you wouldn't expect to give the performance that they did.
Mm-hmm.
There's Dave Chappelle is in this,
mm-hmm.
playing something I've never seen Dave Chappelle play.
Yeah.
Like, Andrew Dice Clay plays Lady Gaga's dad. I have never seen Andrew Dice Clay as anything but that, like, slick back, greasy, leather-wearing comedian who tells all the dirty jokes. He was so good in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone. Sam Elliott is in this, and he is wonderful. Like, everyone.
Everyone.
Now, so, I don't know if all of the Stars Are Born plays, it follows the same storyline.
I think they're loosely the same. So, there's a guy who's already in the business, and he discovers a young girl with talent and brings her into fame, and they have a relationship. And I won't say how it ends because I didn't know how it ends, but if you've seen them, apparently they all have the same general ending.
General ending, okay.
I won't say what it is because, right. Again, like, I didn't know. I did once I started reading the IMDb trivia, which I should have stopped.
Yeah, so if you're like my beautiful wife Jen, stop reading the IMDb trivia before you get to the end.
When it says spoilers, stop.
So, I think you can
until after you watch the movie, and then they're amazing.
So I think you can, because then absolutely read them. Mm. Like that one that you showed me regarding the ending and Lady Gaga's own experiences in real life that were that she was having to deal with at the same time as filming was just an intense
mm-hmm.
fact to know. I think you can establish from the trailer that he's a drunk
mm-hmm.
and he's got demons. What I loved about this is that at no time did he become a mean drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he didn't abuse her. He didn't beat her.
Yeah.
He was a little self-destructive.
Yeah.
And he caused her some embarrassment due to his alcohol and his drug addiction. But their relationship is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Throughout this entire movie.
So this is definitely right now my top pick for best. I'm right now changing this to best picture.
Yeah.
Because it, like I said, it affected. You sit there and you watch it and you're just enthralled with the story. You're like, you care about all the people in it.
Mm-hmm.
This made me ball immensely as I'm sitting there feeling like at some point you got to give up trying to convince people that it's allergies and you just go with it. You just let it all flow.
And you know, before I had said that that Christian Bale was my pick for best actor because he became Dick Cheney for mm-hmm. Vice, and I still stand by that his performance is phenomenal. But when he's younger, a younger Dick Cheney, he is Christian Bale. Like, I see Christian Bale portraying a character. At no point did I see Bradley Cooper in this movie.
Yeah.
At no point. I mean, he's completely changed. His voice is so deep and gravelly because he's imitating
Sam Elliott,
who plays his brother.
Yeah.
And actually, that was a fun little fact that I can share, is that once Sam Elliott agreed to do the movie, Bradley Cooper told him, well, I've been working with a dictation coach working on your voice for a couple weeks now, so I'm glad you accepted.
Okay, so bottom line, out of the six that we've seen, if you only get to see one, make
this
one. This one.
This is amazing.
A Star is Born, you will not be disappointed. All right, that is the end of our show.
Yeah.
So we will catch you next time. Well, hopefully we'll see the other two.
Yeah, and we'll finish up our Oscars. Okay.
So thanks for joining. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez. Good night.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need me?
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.